This is a story that's taken from the Gospel of Luke. That very day, the first of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. They were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing along the way?" And they stopped looking downcast. One of them, Cleopas, said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who does not know about these things that have taken place these days?" And he said, "Well, what sort of things?" "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides that, it is now the third day since it took place. And there's some women in our group, however, have astounded us, and they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find the body. And they came back and reported that they had indeed seen angels who announced to that he was alive. And then some of those who went to the tomb found things just as the women said, but they did not see him." And he said to them, the traveler said, "Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart you are to believe all the things that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer and before he enters into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them what referred to him in the scriptures. And as they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' And so he went to stay with them. And as it happened, while he was at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us about the way and opened the scriptures to us?' And so they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11, and those who were with them were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised, and he has appeared to Simon.' And then the two recounted what had taken place on their way, and how they had known him in the breaking of the bread." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. Has anybody here ever taken a trip to Emmaus? No? Well, if you have, I was going to ask you, which Emmaus was it? Because biblical archaeology says there's at least 9 possibilities of locations where Emmaus may have been. Historians tell us that there is no record of any village called Emmaus in any other ancient source. It's only mentioned in Luke's gospel. Well, not quite. In the apocryphal books of the Maccabees, which would not have been part of the others, it is mentioned there. And in that place, it's the place where the Seleucids were staying, and the Jewish people made an attack and had a great victory. The story in the book of Emmaus, of Maccabees, in Emmaus, was really about a great victory and the fulfillment about God's trust. Is there a message in here that the writer was trying to tell us when the two were heading to this town of Emmaus? But you see, we simply don't know where Emmaus was. Biblical tradition teaches us that it's just a few hours away, 7 miles. And then New Testament scholar Marcus Borg, he suggests that Emmaus is nowhere. He said Emmaus is nowhere precisely because Emmaus is everywhere. Borg says, each and every one of us has had one time or another, indeed some have had many, where we're traveling along that road to Emmaus. Borg is saying we simply don't know. That it's in itself ought to give us a hint that it's saying something a little bit deeper. But let's go back to see what that story of Emmaus, what might have looked like. Imagine what those two characters were doing. They're walking down the road. Jesus had just been put on a cross. 3 days they're talking about it. What can you make of all this stuff? And the other one says, he was supposed to be our Messiah. And now he's gone. And Jesus was supposed to draw the people back to God and restore the relationship between God and his people. Why is God letting this happen? Can you see them going back and forth with each other? Now what? Jesus is gone. And what has changed? Jesus is gone and the Roman Empire is still oppressing us. It's still inflicting pain and hardship on us. It's still killing our people. Was it all a mistake on our part in how we understood him? Was it a lie? You know, there's been others that are some, but had we been so fooled, is this a cruel hoax? What's wrong with our hopes? And how did we put those hopes into this man from Nazareth? We trusted Jesus. We believed in him. We followed him. Our lives have been changed and we've seen other people's lives change. We expected to see greater change happen. I mean, Jesus did confront all the corrupt powers. He charmed the crowds, both Jews and Gentiles. He talked to all the people. And they understood him as speaking truth. Rich and the poor, they came to Jesus, believing that he had healing power. But now it's all fallen apart. Jesus was shamed. I was shamed with him. He was ridiculed. I was ridiculed with him. I mean, he put him up on that cross and totally stripped him. He had no clothes. It was embarrassing for him and for all of us. Well, was Jesus really dead? Some are saying he's alive. Now, that he survived, he couldn't have survived this. This is some kind of miracle of strength. Some are saying he's risen. You know though how those women are. Can't you imagine the conversation? They were convinced of their own experience. Did we get it wrong? Or were they just confused over their grief? You know how they are. Were they delirious? What had we missed? Had they loved Jesus so much, they invested so much in Jesus and his life and his leadership, that they couldn't just let him go? What had we missed? And what's this resurrection about? So, you all might understand the times you've been caught on that road to Emmaus. The times you've been disillusioned, confused about what's happened, decimated by some kind of a life occurrence that you say, what's going on in my life? Why is this happening to me? I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to do. Doesn't my faith count? We come and we ask, where is Jesus? Where is God? What's happening in my life today? How could this happen? Well, I'd ask you again. Have you ever been disillusioned in your faith, in your walk? You were on the road to Emmaus. Many of us have lived through war after war. Most of us here have experienced the craziness of Vietnam, of Iraq, Ukraine today, of the craziness that's happening over in Iran, and all that's happening in the Middle East. And We've seen those who promise those things, promise progress in human rights. Roe versus Wade is reversed. Martin Luther King said powerful, "I have a dream." And we saw his life snuffed out. And then today, in today's world, we see the diversity, sees the stripping of diversity, equity, and inclusion, the rights of business and politicians and educational institutions. What's happening with our hope? We saw that power and the dreams of Vatican II somewhat dribble away. Have we been confused? Have we been decimated by these occurrences? What's going on? I thought this is the stuff we're supposed to be doing. Doesn't my faith count? We're asking the same questions. I know that I've been on that road to Emmaus. I've been on it many times. And to tell the truth, I think I've been on that with you as company with me, and many of you here. I've had conversations on the way discussing, who cares? What about these ifs, ands, and buts? Is Christianity real? I'm caught sometimes in deep grief. Why is this happening? You know, caught in a place just asking about life. What's real and what's not? If you've traveled down that road to Emmaus, you know, if you haven't traveled down, you may have been asleep, because it happens to all of us. So, apparently, it's not a resuscitation of a corpse. Jesus wasn't revived to resume a former life, so he could take it up with that broken body until again he might die again. Somehow, this is a new way and of being, in a spiritual way. Yet it's real to some. Jesus is risen from the dead. So, what's happening with this Gospel of Luke experience, and you're in my experience today? And just with it, like, I wish there was a traveler here who I could hear that say, "Oh, how foolish you are, Tom. How slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary for us to go through this?" And then he begins to express that. So what were the prophets saying? "Were not your hearts beat burning?" I want my heart to be burning. How about you? Well, the prophets often received a call. And that call was a call to action, to deliver God's message to Israel and all the nations, calling for us to be people of action. For example, in Isaiah, he says, "Then a voice came loud to me and said, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'I'm here. Send me.'" You know, too often we think that we don't make a difference. And I think that's where we miss it. Too often we think it's just an illusion in that response. And when we hear that call and call to action, that's the piece that can make our heart go burning. Every time you hear that and you reach out to the poor, every time you reach out and touch to someone who's been pushed out because of their gender, not accepted, and you reach out, isn't that what Jesus did? Every time you're in pain and in hurting and that you see something that's wrong and you reach out and touch, that's what Jesus meant. And every one of us makes a difference. Every time you hear that call and you answer, "Send me," when you see that lonely person on the street and their hollowed eyes, and you say, "Hey, how you doing?" You're answering the call. And that makes a difference. And each one of us makes a difference. What's happening in today's world, I believe, is that we're being sucked into a thing that says we don't make a difference. And yet every one of us, in the little ways that each one of us can do it, we make a difference. In the most dire places. You see, when I live that belief, I live it in strength. I looked up what the word belief means. Belief means, and that's something, it is not about objective, I say that Jesus is my God. Belief means that it is something that I come in. It comes from a German word, that I believe it in love, that I'm connecting with it. And I grew up with the catechism, and I grew up with the creeds, and all those were important if they'd given me a foundation. But they aren't enough. The next step is to put it into the way I live. That's why the early Christians were called the Way. Because they took what Jesus said, they took what the prophets said, they heard what they said, and they put it into their life and live that. And when we do that, Jesus does live. He lives in each one of us. He has touched us to grow. That power is in us, and little by little, we grow in it. And I don't believe it's foolish thinking. I believe it's knowing who has the last word. And I believe that God has the last word. How does that scripture go? God is love, and they who abide in love, abide in God, and God in them. Know this, if you should love one another, you have fulfilled the whole law. God is love, and they who abide in love, abide in God, and God in them. You know, that's what Moses and the prophets were all about. It's in this understanding of how we break bread, how we learn to love each other, how we learn to love people who we don't like, and that struggle that we have. It's all about that. It's knowing that every time I hear the call, I answer, send me, Lord. And Jesus lives. Every time I do that, and every time you do that, our hearts can burn. And may you all, and may we always hear that call and never be discouraged by what the world presents to us. Because it needs to be heard by us so that it can be said by us and lived by us. Know that in you and in my response of saying, send me, Jesus lives, and we will set the world ablaze. I'd like to hear your comments.